Healthy alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. What Healthy Alternatives is about is we all want to live longer, stay healthy, enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring on each of the shows, issue areas, concerns, as well as things you need to be doing that you can be using to be more healthy for yourself.
My guest who I'm going to be interviewing shortly is Karen Peterson. She has a master's and she has 40 years of teaching experience. She's been working with senior citizens for 18 years, and she's created Giving Back, a nonprofit organization using intergenerational mentoring programs. And she's created the award-winning program Move with Balance for active elder mentors to mentor frail elders. Very successful program. It's received the MetLife Mind Alert Award, and we'll be talking to Karen in just a few minutes. Every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And a little bit later, then, I also talk about a healthy breakthrough. This show, I want to talk about both. First, we'll talk about the issue area. Now, you've probably heard of drug-resistant bacteria like MRSA because of all the antibiotics being given to animals, being given to humans. We're winding up with drug-resistant bacteria, which means you can't use broad-spectrum antibiotics to treat them because they're resistant. Well, what's coming about now is cancer that is becoming resistant to drugs, and that's from the chemotherapy drugs that are being used. And this was reported in the journal Nature Biotechnology that multi-drug resistance is a major factor in the failure of many forms of chemotherapy. It affects patients with a variety of blood cancers and solid tumors from breast, ovarian, lung, lower gastrointestinal tract cancers. So what happens is tumors usually consist of a mixed population of malignant cells, some of which are drug sensitive, while others are drug resistant. What the chemotherapy does is it kills the drug sensitive cells, but it leaves behind more of the drug-resistant cells, which then allow the tumor to grow again, and the chemo may not work because the remaining cells are now resistant. What chemo is doing is exposing your body to toxins that kill all your cells that multiply and divide rapidly, and this not only includes cancer cells, it includes in your bone marrow, reproductive cells, and hair follicles. So that's the issue area that we're developing now, not only bacteria resistance, we're developing cancers that are drug resistant. We're going to talk in just a few minutes about what can you do about that. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. On teplitz.com, you'll find under the About Home button where I do a free monthly e-newsletter. It's health, nutrition, wellness oriented, and I cover things that are different from what I do in Healthy Alternatives. You can sign up there on my website. Also, at the top of Healthy Alternatives, you'll see a button that says Jerry Recommends. These are people, products, services that I think you should know about. Take a look because it can have a positive impact on you. So every week I like to talk about the healthy breakthrough, something that you can use for yourself, for loved ones, new discoveries and information. What I want to talk about is a tag on that I started about drug-resistant cancer cells. What can you do about that? Well, Green Med Info website has found 66 natural substances in food that show promise in treating these multi-drug resistant cancers. While they may not work on all of the cancers, they will work on many of them. The top one was curcumin. That was the number one that they found in 26 studies attesting to its efficacy. Paprika came in at number two with 6 studies. What's going on with curcumin is what makes it such a good treatment is, first of all, it's safe in treating nearly all cancers. What it does is it both destroys cancer cells and it also promotes healthy cell functioning. There's what's called angiogenesis that happens in the body. This is natural occurs in inhibitors that make them into natural anti-cancer medicines. They are boosting your body's defense and they prevent blood vessels from forming. And that's what feeds these cancerous tumors and starts to let them grow. So what you're looking at is with curcumin is it inhibits the proliferation of cancer cell tumors, decreases inflammation, it inhibits the synthesis of a protein thought to be instrumental in tumor formation, and it also helps the body destroy mutated cancer cells so they can't spread through the rest of your body. A study in cancer chemotherapy and pharmacology found curcumin may be useful in the reversal of this multi-drug resistance, and that study was pancreatic cancer. Another study in biochemical and biophysical research communications found that curcumin promotes cell death in multi-resistant human lung cancer cells. There are many other foods, substances that are proving to be beneficial. Some of them to start keeping more of an eye on are what's called carotenes, sulforaphane, flavonoids. So there are a number of directions we can go if you're moving into the problem of drug-resistant cancers. Before I bring on my guest, Karen Peterson, I'd like to talk to you about my book, Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. One of the sections in that book shows you everything you need to know about meditation, including how to do it. I have now been meditating for 41 years, and if there was only one technique I had to continue doing from all the different approaches I do, it would be meditation. One of the things about meditation is many people are taught wrong. They're taught to make their mind go blank, and that's almost impossible to do. What I talk in the book is how you can go about meditating so it really works for you and brings you a ton of benefits that I talk about in the book. So Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change, you can find it on Amazon.com or you can go to teplitz.com and click on the products button. My guest today is Karen Peterson. Karen has 40 years of teaching experience, mainly in adult education programs. She's been working with senior citizens for 18 years. She's created an intergenerational mentoring program, and one part program is an award-winning program called Move with Balance. What she has is active elders mentor frail elders by practicing integrative movements together. She's a brain gym instructor, certified natural vision improvement instructor, certified massage therapist, and certified touch for health instructor. And her Move with Balance program won the 2012 MetLife Mind Alert Award. Karen, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Thank you, Jerry.
So what got you into working with seniors originally, since that is, you know, a very unique population?
Right. It started in 1994, and it really happened because I was starting to become a senior myself, and I noticed how just the feeling in society of discarding the elders and not really honoring them. And one day I walked in our senior center and just started presenting the activities that I knew, which I'd normally done with children, and the senior center loved them and started having me teach it all around. And so then once I started working with the seniors, I really knew that this is what I wanted to do, and that's really how it was.
So even at that beginning stage, you were seeing some really dramatic changes in the seniors you were working with?
Right, and I didn't have the program yet of the mentors and everything. I just had me teaching them, and they just really loved it, and I could see them improving.
Terrific. Now, what was your vision then for developing Move with Balance? That's the program that you've grown
Well, I wanted to do something with healthy aging and, you know, intergenerational. And I just knew that one of the things that the activities that I do work on is coordination and balance. So, and I knew elders had a problem with falling as a big issue. So I just sort of started testing out to see if the program would work on balance and preventing falls and working with their cognitive skills. Because that's another problem with seniors, that they, you know, their brain power starts to decline, so that, you know, we have to keep them alert and their minds active, and so that the activities do that too.
So have there been some research done on the impact of what you're doing in Move with Balance?
Yes, actually. I've all along knew how important it was to get research, so I've had like a nursing teacher here at our local University of Hawaii College do a study, and she found good results. You know, things like people being able to move from sitting to standing better, the ability to walk using better posture, different things like that, better attention span. And then I had the head of our Department of Health do some other studies in another evaluation, and he, you know, in the 6 tests that he gave them, they improved in all of them. Okay, but here was the problem. We didn't have a control group at the time, so, you know, you couldn't say that it, even though people benefited, we couldn't really prove it. So it just happens, even since the last time I talked to you, on June 4th, we got notice that our last evaluation that we did actually with a control group and everything really worked. And we're so excited, and he's going to write it up now, and, you know, we have to just do all this stuff. And the bottom line is that this program where we tested it, the elders improved. There was 38% fewer falls, which is just amazing. And he claims that saved $20,000 because each fall is about $5,000. Anyway, so we just got this study back, hot off the press, and we're, you know, he's going to be writing it up and publish it and stuff. But I have, you know, preliminary data that I could send to anybody who is interested. But that really showed it worked because we had a control group.
And by the way, congratulations on those kinds of stats. They're pretty impressive.
Yeah, we couldn't believe it.
Now, you've also set up a nonprofit that's called Giving Back. Is that correct?
Yes. In 2000, like I was working with the seniors, and I noticed, I mean, this is because people don't even think of this, that a senior citizen, when we say that word, people have one image. But in fact, people from 55, let's say, to 105 are all senior citizens, and they're so different. So I basically, in Giving Back, that's when I got the idea to take the younger seniors and get them, you know, active doing these activities early on, and also create some way for them to be integrated back into the community and feel useful. So I trained them to be my helpers, and then I called them mentors to work with actually children we worked with first, and then I moved it into working with frail elders.
Is this in multiple states at this point, or just
it's just in Hawaii right now, but I have won several awards over the last 2 years with people encouraging me to replicate the program. So now I am going to be replicating it, and whether I actually have giving back get national or I just have this program get national, I have to look into all those details.
The big details, of course.
I know. Accountant kind of details.
Yep. Now, tell us about some of the innovative exercises you use in Move with Balance since you've been getting these kinds of major changes in the elder folks.
Okay. Well, I think that when people are working with elders, they mostly just do it from like a fitness perspective, let's have them lift a few weights or do, some leg raises or things like that. And we do some things like that, but at the same time that we are doing those physical movements, I have them doing cognitive things at the same time. So, for example, let's say I put a string on the floor and I have them practice different kinds of walking. At the same time they're practicing that walking, I might have them be reading an eye chart. Or let's say maybe they're doing math flashcards. So I've combined kind of cognitive and movement. So that's the best I can say about that. It's kind of, getting all the senses integrated while they are moving and doing activities. I think this is making the difference, really. And then go on.
Do you use any brain gym in your...
I use brain gym, and that I use that mostly kind of for a warm-up. There's some brain gym activities that are called lengthening activities, and that is, like muscles that are all scrunched up and tightened due to stress and not moving. I kind of lengthen those muscles in preparation for some of the other things that we're doing. So I do use some brain gym. And then I have a background in vision therapy, working with behavioral optometrists. Have you worked with them? And that kind of sensory motor integration activities is what I'm kind of talking about. But yeah, we do some brain gym too.
For listeners, I've talked about brain gym before. For listeners who haven't heard those, would you kind of give a quickie definition of your view of what brain gym is and what it's doing?
I guess my bottom line on brain gym is it gets a person ready for any kind of learning. It gets you the body and the brain connected. So you know if you're going to start moving, you're going to do it from a position when you're fully present. So these are exercises that I have worked with children, and anybody can do them anytime and get into this state to make learning easier. And I think with the elders, they get very present. And then when we do the exercises, they're right there. They're not, sitting and thinking about all their aches and pains or anything like that. They're fully present. That's what I would say it does.
What's the oldest senior you've ever worked with?
98.
98, okay. And what happened?
In this study that we just finished, I had to give the age, median age, and it was 87.9. So we're working with, so it's really the what we actually called the high fallers. That's how they were picked, as people who were really at risk for falling.
So they had been falling, or they were at risk for falling, or both?
They had been falling. Okay. They had been falling, and that's why we selected them.
So in effect, your stats are even more impressive on that study, because you were taking a population that their tendency was kaplunk.
Right. And that it was interesting. We went into this assisted living, and I kind of said when we first were going to decide to do it, well, I'd like to have your most active, the most well seniors, most mobile ones. And then as we were, because they're the easier ones to work with. And then as we're going along, you know, in listening to the conversation with the Department of Health and this assisted living, they're talking about high fallers and this. And then I was kind of resistant. And finally I said, oh, well, all right, I guess this is the area of the people that they really need to work with and are really costing the money. So I just threw it up and said, okay, let's do it with them.
So you were, in effect, biting the bullet.
Yeah, that kind of. And then I just said, well, okay, then let's see if it does work with these people. Because this, I could tell that that's who they wanted to do it with. And even though I felt they might not even benefit or get any better, they did. And that was kind of the magic of it, actually.
Terrific. So before we continue, I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Healthy Alternatives, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and we'll be back with my guest, Karen Peterson, in just a moment, talking about movement and the elderly.
If you're a golfer, you're going to love my golf DVD called Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf. It's looking at the energetics behind your golf game. It's a very different approach. It's showing you techniques that you can use instantly to create a different energy level when you're out on the course. I've had golfers just watch the DVD and they've gone out and shot personal bests ever. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you can actually get it, try it, see if it works, and if it doesn't, send it back. You can learn about it at golf-help.info. That's golf-help.info. Par and Beyond, Secrets to Better Golf.
So my guest today is Karen Peterson. Karen has a master's degree. She's been teaching for 40 years. And for the last 18 years, she's been focusing on teaching senior citizens. She's created a nonprofit called Giving Back that focuses on mentoring programs that are intergenerational. One of these programs, which actually won the 2012 MetLife Mind Alert Award, called Move with Balance, is a program that helps elderly not fall as much by taking active elderly, showing and working with the frail elderly. And so, Karen, we were talking about your Move with Balance program, and why don't you talk about some of the benefits that you've seen from seniors who've gone through the program, and how long a program is it before you start seeing the impact?
The program is 10 weeks long, and I would say probably by the fifth week, you can really see a difference in how the people are doing the exercises and, you know, being involved. They're kind of resistant in the beginning, like they'd rather almost just sit and watch TV or, you know, not come out of their rooms. But once you get them out there, and then they have their buddy, the mentor. These mentors that I have are so fantastic. They're just so loving and patient with the mentees who are the frail. Like physical improvements, mental improvements, just alertness, just a better attitude. We had somebody 96 that kind of griped each time she came for a while, well, I don't even know why I'm here, you know, in the class. And then after a while, probably four times, she looked forward to it and was smiling, which is a big difference in how she first came.
So, have you worked with any elders with dementia or Alzheimer's to see what kind of changes happen with them?
Yeah, actually, in this recent study that we had such good results, there were probably, I'd say, four people in there that had dementia, and they didn't, you know, I was a little concerned about that because I really feel the importance of the mentor-mentee relationship created each, you know, and developing. So this person in particular that had dementia, every time she came, she didn't even recognize or know her mentor. And once the mentor accepted that and was, you know, then it was okay. But again, I had told the center not to send people with dementia, but they did anyway, and it worked out. It's just that I think what I would do is the mentor, I would say ahead of time when we're picking who they're going to be with, who would want to be with somebody that, you know, has dementia, so that they would not be able to, in the same way, create a relationship. Although each time they came, they did recreated one anew, kind of, you know, for that day.
There was an interesting piece of research I ran across not too long ago where they had people who had dementia, and what they did is they were reading them stories. And in the reading of it, the folks would get interested in it. And what they found is if they read the same story over and over, even though day after day, even though it was quote-unquote new to the person because they didn't remember it because they had dementia and Alzheimer's, they found they started getting bored. But if they changed the story each day, they maintained their interest. So there was something deeper in the brain that was kind of sort of remembering this. And that may be actually happening with your mentor-mentee relationship.
Right.
They get back into it even though they had no idea it ever happened.
That's right. And at the end of it, after the 10 weeks, the one that really couldn't remember her mentor each time came up to me and just said, "I hope you're coming back and, you know, I'm going to miss you." And she went on and on like that. And, you know, that was amazing to me that she'd even did that. And I felt by watching the mentor and mentee that they really clicked and hit it off. So maybe they were actually progressing without, you know, me knowing every detail.
And just a dementia person using the word hope.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
So here's what we decided, though. The next time we go back and do the program, we were going to keep the dementia people in a separate group and do it. But I don't know. We're going to still have to discuss how we really feel the best way to do this based on this study and everything.
Sure. So tell us about the awards that you're programming with.
Well, I never even thought of replicating the program. But one day I got this letter that said that this program was selected as one of 10 innovative programs in the country to be honored. And then the people that gave me the award came and put on a luncheon for 60 people that I picked who were instrumental in this program, and they paid for that whole thing. And then they said, "And we really want you to start replicating your program, and here's $15,000, which isn't that much to really replicate, but it got me thinking. So that was in March 2010. So since then, I have been working on it. And other awards, you know, like the Maui County Committee on the Status of Women or a Governor's Recognition Award or Hawaii Pacific Gerontology Society and some things like that gave us awards. And a couple of my mentors won big state awards. But really the biggest and best award was the one I just got this March of 2012, which is the Mind Alert Award. And they paid for me to go to Washington, D.C. to the American Society on Aging conference, and there was this big brain health day. And then I got this award and I had 15 minutes to describe what I was doing. And they're going to be putting on a webinar that will go to their international people. So all this is kind of falling in place for a replication to be happening.
So congratulations to you on that.
Thanks.
And is the program fully designed now? Can somebody get in touch with you who wants to get involved with the program?
Yeah, so what's happening about that is I did recently get a grant in February, a large enough grant to be able to really start putting together the pieces. So I'm going to get a new website. I have written down, like, let's say, the book about it. I've written down all the activities that I do. There's probably about 60 activities. And that I gave just this week to the editor. And then so the product will be this book with a DVD of all of the activities. It's going to be very affordable, very simple, so that anybody could use it. And I'd say it's going to be ready in, 3 to 6 months. And if once you give the website at the end, they can learn about, you know, get on the list to learn about us, how far along we are, and that they could then purchase this, I call it a kit, which would be the DVD and the book, and then they can take it into their own communities.
And for listeners who want to know what that website is, it's movewithbalance.org. That's movewithbalance.org. www.karenp.org. Now, do you have a membership part of this?
Oh, yeah. That, I'm glad. I was just going to even mention that I need to talk about that. What we're going to do on the website, we're going to have the one product, the book and the DVD, but I realize that there are many applications for this. So a person, once they get the book, if they want, they can join the membership, and then let's say they're going to be teaching it in groups the way I do with the mentors, mentees, and at a senior center or assisted living or something. They would join the group membership, and everything will be on the website exactly how I've done it. You know, all the background, how to set it up, how to train the mentors, and all that would be in that membership. Then we've had interest from caregivers. So there'd be another section of membership where the caregivers would go in there. And so let's say a professional caregiver could buy this kit. And they, as they made their rounds through their people they're caregiving for, they could stop and do some of these activities at each stop. So they've expressed interest in this. And then just a regular person, you know how they sell yoga tapes and stuff, a regular person could just, a senior could buy this and do it at home or get together with some friends in the neighborhood and do it. So it's going to be, if they want to join the membership, they'll just learn a lot more. We'll have webinars. I'm going to have, you know, guest speakers and a lot of sharing, and I'll be putting on lots of new exercises as we go.
Are you going to be putting videos up of the exercises?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Terrific.
Yep.
So anything else that you'd like to share about what you're doing and its impact at this point?
Well, I think the main thing I want to do with everything that I talked about is enhance the image of older people, just to show, you know, like they, it used to be in the old days where the elders were honored and that they had some wisdom, and I want to just bring, create something where people can do this together and enhance the image of aging, I'd say.
Terrific. And again, for listeners, if you'd like to learn more about what Karen Peterson's doing, you can go to movewithbalance.org, movewithbalance.org. Karen, thanks for being a guest today on Healthy Alternatives.
Okay, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.
This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.